Welcome to Cut the Crop, keeping you in the know about everything you grow. Researchers, growers and other interesting folk delivering insights and information on topics ranging from agronomy to profitability. Brought to you by the Foundation for Arable Research.
Welcome everyone, my name is Alison Stewart and I'm your host for this episode of Cut the Crop, and today we're talking about arable crops for animal feed. And we know that many arable growers grow grain and silage and get a good revenue stream out of selling them for animal feed. And we know that the dairy industry is able to maintain its productivity through the use of some of these supplementary feeds. But the key thing that we want to talk about today is the environmental benefit of using these arable feeds. And today we have Pablo Gregorini from Lincoln University, and he's been actively involved in a sustainable farming fund project that FAR has been overseeing, and it's looking at the environmental benefits of arable feeds. So welcome, Pablo.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here and just showing some of the things we've done together.
Yeah. So let's talk about sort of, you know, what are the range of animal feeds that you looked into? And one presumes that what goes in a cow has some effect on what comes out the other end.
Well, thank you. Well, I've been working in these matters for pretty much since I got here to New Zealand, you know, first at Dairy NZ and now at Lincoln University. So I've been exploring nowadays around 72,000 diets.
Oh, right. Okay.
And
just a few.
Yeah, combinations of 51 feeds that can be produced either in New Zealand or are brought from abroad in New Zealand, right? As a supplementary feed of pastures. But lately, the work that we've done together, we've been exploring some of those arable crops, if I can, and what is the impact of those onto the environmental impact of dairy farming systems.
So how do you actually do this research? What's the methodology that you use?
Well, we for this particular research, I've been using several methods, from real cows to in vitro methods. But for the particular research that we did with the FAR, we use a sophisticated mathematical model, right? Which is a virtual cow, literally, which is named after my wife's name, which is Mindy, and it has been developed and validated during my years at Dairy NZ. So Mindy is owned by the dairy farmers of New Zealand, to be frank, and thank to all the dairy farmers. Yeah. So in this particular work, we were wondering, and we were asking Mindy the question that we asked in similar works before, what if, that's the thing, what if we feed you maize silage? What if we feed you barley silage? What if we feed you barley grain and other cereal grains, right, that come from the arable crops? And if we feed you that, are you going to perform better or worse? If we feed you that, are you going to have less environmental impact in terms of nitrogen and methane, right? And so we run several exercises. First, with the data that we have available in New Zealand, right? It's just the common data from the database of Dairy NZ and other sources, or even the program FRNL there, right? So to set the base and say, okay, yeah, if we feed this or that and we combine it with this grazing management or the other grazing management, this could be what's going on. Just to give us an idea of how, if the model was up to that, again, right? So once we saw that, okay, the model is doing the trick, it provides good answers as we expected. So we use actual data from farmers, right? So from different part of New Zealand, that where the data was collected. Data, I mean, samples of feed that were analyzed, you know, using wet chemistry and other methodologies to provide the best inputs possible to Mindy, and also data from how those farmers were managing those farms and what sort of cows they were managing, right? So Mindy was fed by that feed, and Mindy was created, if you like, the closest possible to those farms. So yeah. Mindy, in fact, was the cow of the North Island, the South Island, and several farms around, right? So when we fed those feeds, you know, that pretty much were silages, like maize silage or maize grain, barley silage or barley grain, and we combined it with other feeds that were available at the farm that come from arable farmers. We asked the question to her, okay, will you excrete more or less nitrogen, right? Independently of the actual grazing management when you are fed those, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the response accordingly to what is known in the literature, right? So the more nitrogen you feed to an animal, the more nitrogen the animal excrete, right? So using those feeds coming from arable crops, we dilute the nitrogen excretion. So we reduce the environmental impact and we increase milk production. When you use it strategically, for example, with maize silage, right? Or some of those silage that have part of the silage which is not as degradable in the rumen, you can even reduce methane production. So it's a win-win-win situation. The first win, you maintain or increase production. The second win, you reduce nitrogen excretion. And if you do it right, you could even reduce methane production of the animals.
So what kind of level of reduction are we talking about here? I mean, is this substantive?
It's substantive, and those labels appear in the report that I mentioned FAR is going to be spreading around the farmers. But we can go from levels that, you know, increasing or maintaining or increasing milk production, for example, we can reduce 8 to 10% nitrogen excretion, and sometimes even more. Of course, the more of those feed we fed to the animal, the more nitrogen is diluted, mm-hmm. So the less nitrogen is going to be excreted, right?
So, that sounds really exciting to me, because I know that that's something that the edible sector would obviously want because we're producing the edible crops. Mm-hmm. It's something that surely the dairy sector would be thinking was a really good opportunity for them to be able to reduce some of the environmental issues. So what are the challenges to being able to adopt this kind of approach?
Well, that's a good question. In my own opinion, there is no much challenges, right? Because dairy farmers or other livestock production farmers can team up with arable crop farmers and start, negotiating, for example, right? Buying X amount of this or that, right? That could be a challenge though, sorry about that, right? But the other thing is incorporating crops in the farming operation, or trying to have more like a mixed farming operation that doesn't need to be in one single farm. It's just kind of a cluster of farms that all work together for the whole interest, right? So dairy farmers will have the interest on producing milk while reducing environmental impact, right? But the arable farmers could, produce grain and at the same time have a sub-product or the same grain as a product for the dairy industry. So it's kind of diversifying where the product goes.
So what about some of the specifics around which arable crops delivered what types of benefits? I mean, was barley better than maize or maize better than barley? I mean, how did it stack up with respect to which crops seemed to deliver the best benefits?
For the South Island was barley silage. Mm-hmm. And for the North Island, we were simulating several scenarios. It was the maize silage because of the realities of the two islands as well, climatic-wise. I must say that when you feed the grain by itself, it lift production a little bit and still reduce the nitrogen excretion. But when we feed some silages, for example, maize silage, to the cow, like some works in the Netherlands have been proving the same thing in modeling-wise or even real animals, that when you feed maize silage, for example, you reduce fermentability of that feedstuff in the rumen because of the fiber issues of maize silage, and because of the starch of the maize silage doesn't ferment all in the rumen as compared to other grains like barley or wheat, right? Mm-hmm. So With maize silage, we find out that you can reduce nitrogen excretion and at the same time, you reduce methane production. Similar thing, but it's not as marked with barley silage, right? You can get into more details at the same amount of supplementation, if you like, or how much feed, or those feeds you feed to the animal. Management of that can increase the or improve the outcome. For example, there are several combinations with pasture allowances, several combinations with timing of the supplement allocation that will enhance the benefit already that the crop has.
So is there any, you've said that it has the potential to increase milk production, but do any of these arable feeds impact on the flavor or the quality of the milk?
Not that we are aware of that. You know, those particular feedstuff don't have any flavors that will impact the quality of the flavor of the milk. There are some other plants that have other benefits as well. That, mm-hmm. You know, several plant secondary chemical compounds that may have that may be beneficial for the animal that could impact the flavor, but not the cereal silages. If you talk about maize silage, barley silage, even wheat silage, they won't have any impact on the flavor of the milk.
So the farmers that were involved in the program, were they surprised by this result?
Some of them were surprised, but some of them were said, this is what I was thinking. And I personally, I wasn't surprised because it makes sense to me. If you want to reduce environmental impact of dairy production systems at the same level of pasture intake, you need to top it up if you want to produce more milk with mm-hmm. some extra thing. So you increase production and dilute the total nitrogen intake.
So do you think that it's something that the dairy sector will start exploring as a viable option for them? I mean, it doesn't negate their grass-fed sort of framework mm-hmm. because you're not talking about replacing that. No. You're talking about just utilizing the grain feed and the silage when...
Exactly. This is not saying let's get out of pasture. This is not saying pasture is not good. We need to accept that pasture is not a balanced feed. It's 101 nutrition, right? Mm. So, and it's not balanced because it has excess of nitrogen, and that's what create the excess of nitrogen excretion in terms of urinary nitrogen. And that's, why a lot of these feedstuff can help to dilute that nitrogen. Again, it's not saying that pasture is bad. We need to utilize as much pasture as possible because that is the base of profitability of pastoral dairy farming system.
Yeah.
But we are talking about supplements, right? We are supplementing. I would rather say complementing the pasture base.
I like the word complement because supplement can have a negative connotation.
Yeah.
But it's, I think complement is... It puts the arable and the dairy together, and it sounds as if it's more of a win-win.
Exactly. And you can use different feed stuff or even different arable crops strategically to better use your pasture base. Right? Mm. You can even talk about substitution, plant substitution in times where you don't have enough grass, and you can add. Right? It's called substitution with addition or addition.
Which is, so of course, is quite topical at this moment in time.
Yeah. So, like you said, this is not saying that pasture is bad, right? We are a pastoral system and we are proud of that, but we need to acknowledge that pasture is not a balanced feed, right? So, can we produce milk with pasture? Yes, but we need to complement that pasture with other feed stuff to get the best of pasture and have lower environmental impact.
So the Sustainable Farming Fund project has finished. Mm-hmm. And if people want to access the results of that, there's a report that they can access.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so we can put a link to that on this podcast. What are you continuing on with any of this work as part of your own research program?
Yeah, well, I'm the head of one center of excellence in Lincoln University, which is Future Productive Landscapes. And we are thinking, we are designing nowadays future farms, livestock production farms, which include dairy animals as well. So, and how we can integrate those farms cohesively in the part of the landscape where all the farms talk to each other. We are talking about mixed operations, big enterprises, that all the farmers talk together and we can have a real integration in the landscape of different productivities. That can help each other.
And so is that research being done on farm somewhere?
We are at the design phase now, and we are using two farms of Lincoln University, one at the high country near Hawea, and the other one, Ashley Dean Farm, here in 10 minutes from Lincoln. Mm-hmm. We're also working with other enterprises, big companies of farming, that like our approach and want to have a redesign farming operation systems, if you like, looking towards the future. We are talking about 2030, 2050.
Yeah, excellent. So is there anything else that you would like to raise about the program and the benefits of the work that you've done?
I think from an academic point of view, and it's really important for us to deal directly with the farmers, like we've been doing through or far. And so it keeps us real. It keeps my students, for example, that were participating in this project as well, the connection with the farmers. And it's a constant feedback. We learn from the farmers learn from us, we learn from each other, and we grow together. So we use the tools that we have created here in New Zealand, information that we can gather here in New Zealand for the best of the farmers and the farming practices.
Yes. And your wife enjoys having a cow named after her?
Yes, that's what she said.
Well, look, thank you very much, Pablo. That's really interesting. And hopefully you'll continue on with this work. And thank you to the listeners and have a great day on the farm.
Thanks for tuning in to Cut the Crop, presented to you by FAR. If you'd like to know more about any of the topics discussed or have any suggestions for future topics, go to www.cutthecrop.co.nz.